Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, we're welcoming back John White to today's show. John is the garden curator of the Chihuahuan Desert Gardens on the UTEP campus. And we're a little over a month away from the native plant sale that everybody goes crazy over here in El Paso. But we're going to talk about a lot of the native plants that will probably be on sale at that. But we want to talk first a little bit about the events that Master Gardeners are involved in. And this very weekend, Master Gardeners are taking part in the Home Show at the Convention Center downtown.
Yes, one of the most popular booths down at the Home
Show.
Well, because we have nothing. Yeah, we're just talking and educating the folks. And there's a lot of do-it-yourselfer backyard gardeners, and they're excited to be able to learn about how to improve their gardening techniques. The Master Gardeners also have a little sample of some native plants, or good choices for your garden. So stop by and ask them some questions and visit with them, and they'll give you lots of information. Everything that we have is applicable to El Paso and to our region.
So and that's taking place today and tomorrow.
There's still time to go out there.
And happening next week is a vegetable gardening workshop that I think a lot of people should be excited about.
Yes, it seems to be one of our biggest programs during the spring. Is people, we're still seeing people interested in growing backyard vegetables. And we need to make sure to talk about the right way to plant and what to plant, because vegetables are not low water use plants. So we really start off our talk and our workshop talking about the soils and the irrigation, and be able to get, you know, good techniques down when we talk about, you know, low flow irrigation. And then we talk about mulching and composting. All that's really going to help you have a successful summer crop, if you will. And we'll talk about a lot of popular topics such as container gardening. Folks don't have a lot of space and they still want to grow some fresh herbs or to bring them back into their kitchen, or even have a couple of tomato plants. So we'll talk about, you know, gardening in small spaces as well as just a backyard raised bed. Also, and the Master Gardeners are also busy preparing some seedlings that they've grown, starting from seed in the greenhouse, and they'll have those for sale too. And all of those have been tried in El Paso, and they've shown to be really successful producers. So, you know, you can visit the workshop, learn all about vegetables, and then purchase some seedlings on your way out.
And so that workshop is, again, happening next week on March 19th. Where's it going to be taking place?
It's actually going to be held on the far east side of town. It's going to be at the Texas A&M AgriLife Research Center off I-10 in Americas. We do have a registration deadline for folks. It is $10 per person. And we do require that you do reserve your seat before the program. And then we'll continue to give you up-to-date information as far as the traffic situation, because there's a lot of construction, as you know, all around town. Specifically out there in that east side spaghetti bowl that they're building.
So if you're interested in registering for the vegetable gardening workshop, you can call Texas A&M AgriLife at 771-2354. That's 771-2354. You can also call us here at the radio station or find the information on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. And if anybody's been driving around the northeast side of town, they're probably seeing a lot of poppies because of this really warm weather that we've been having lately. And the Poppies Fest is going to be taking place on April the 2nd at the Archaeology Museum off of Trans Mountain. And John, because of this warm weather, there might not be any poppies by the time the fest comes around, because they've all been bloomed out.
Yeah, we're hoping we get some rain or something, because if this keeps getting hot, those poppies aren't going to be around for long.
Right. And they're usually those Mexican poppies that we see blooming around town. And there are so many other different kinds that people might see in home improvement stores, nurseries, etc. But, you know, these Mexican poppies are one of the native wildflowers that we see commonly around the region. What are some of the other native wildflowers that maybe we see around here that you will be showcasing perhaps at the upcoming native plant sale in late April?
Well, we have some different wildflowers, like Angelita Daisy is one of my favorites.
I love those.
And that just seems to bloom its little head off.
Yeah,
just keeps going and going and going. And it's a good one. I might add that poppies are an annual. Sometimes people come to the sale wanting to know if we have poppies for sale, and we don't, because they're an annual. You start them from seed in the fall, and if we get the rains or you water, you can get them to come up, and you can have poppies in your own yard. But since they're an annual, we don't sell them. But Angelina Daisy is a great plant to use. And also carry a plant that's real popular with gardeners called chocolate flower
mm-hmm.
or chocolate daisy.
Mm-hmm.
It does smell like Hershey's chocolate.
It does.
And, you know, a lot of people, you know, when you first tell them, they sniff it and they go, wow. You know,
yeah, nobody expects flowers to smell like chocolate.
Yeah. And so it's a great little plant, and it's one that reseeds itself pretty. It's a perennial, but it does reseed itself. So you start with one, usually end up with half a dozen or a dozen, and then two dozen.
Have to warn people, when they start coming up, they look a lot like a weed. Their leaf shape is very similar to that of a very common weed we see around here. So make sure you let it grow for a little bit until you can tell the difference that it's not a weed and instead it's a chocolate flower, because I've made that mistake myself.
Right. No, it's great. We also have Blackfoot Daisy, which is a nice little white
plant.
Daisy that does well, low growing, and doesn't need a lot of care. Mm-hmm. You probably kill it with too much care. And so it does great. We also have zinnias, the native zinnias. Mm-hmm. But we have the grandiflora zinnia, the yellow one, and then we have the acerosa, the white zinnia. So there's two of them there to pick from. So those are also great wildflower plants.
And let's not forget the penstemons, right? Because those are like the all-star plant of the plant. I think if you were to have a logo, you should have a penstemon on there.
Right. And there are a number of penstemons that, you know, we can grow in the area. So there's a lot of variation. There's ones in bloom right now, and those will probably be bloomed out by the time the plant sale comes around. So those particular varieties we probably won't have, because they'll be bloomed out. So we'll have more of the summer blooming mm-hmm. penstemons, but they're a great plant. Again, a plant that too much water will kill it, so you got to be real careful on the watering on it, and you want to make sure you have a well-drained soil, so you don't want to put them in an area where water collects and doesn't drain off. But penstemons are a great plant. You find them in kind of rocky, gravelly soils, and they just do great.
And if you buy one, you'll probably be guaranteed penstemons for the rest of your life.
Right.
It's a penstemon starter set.
Yeah.
We have noticed some of the penstemon in our garden are, you know, a little bit promiscuous.
Interbreed.
Yes, we're losing some of the true color on some of the varieties. And so we have to cull out some of the ones that aren't true to species.
Sounds a little discriminatory, but we'll let this go because it's plants.
So we're purists. Right.
So pick one species and stick with it. So
yeah.
You can find it into your yard then.
But we got some other penstemons have been in the garden almost since day one.
Wow.
Nice.
And so they're, you know, 15, 20 years.
I know you're probably going to have red and yellow yuccas. Perhaps those are also really popular with hummingbirds, as are the penstemons.
Right. And we have you know, wide variety of plants that we're bringing in. There's some of the grasses that really look good, but the grasses early in the spring, bringing them in the pots and stuff, they're going to kind of look small and immature, but they will grow into great plants and give you great interest and, you know, focus in your garden when they start to send up plumes and seed stalks and stuff. So they'll look great.
I think that's one thing that people need to keep in mind with native plants. If you're going to buy them, like, for example, at the native plant sale, they're not going to be, you know, super showy because they might either be before their bloom period or after their bloom period if they, in fact, do bloom at all. But they're not going to look so great. But once you put them in your landscape, give them a little bit of time, a little bit of care, and they're going to.
Yeah, they don't like being in pots.
No.
No.
So once you get them out of the pot and planted, usually they take off and do well.
Yeah, exactly. No, and I'm excited only because I bought a Pam's Pink Honeysuckle last year at the sale, and it was in a 5-gallon pot. Beautiful plant, you know, just it was a great size. And with our warm weather this past spring, it's starting to have new growth on there, and it's taking off. So I'm excited, and I'm waiting for it to flower and all of that. So I think that's really what the anticipation is of native plants, is that long-term benefit that you're going to get. It's not going to be a quick, showy plant, just like a small bedding plant that you buy petunias, you know, out there.
And if you walk through the garden different times of the year, we have such an assortment. You have bloom almost all the time, blooming. You aren't going to find a plant that's just going to bloom, you know, one plant that's going to bloom all year long.
Right.
But you need you know, a mix so that you have
interest.
Yeah, changing color, interest, texture, and stuff. Now, Angelita Daisy's pretty close to a bloomer all year round.
Yeah, almost.
Does a good job.
Are you going to have desert marigolds? Those are another one of my favorites.
The desert marigolds. We try and bring in a good assortment, so we have, you know, some ground covers, some shrubs, some vines, trees. Trees, usually we try and bring them in 5 gallon, which is sometimes a small size. I mean, it's easy for a homeowner to handle, but it's kind of small in size. And then we bump up to 15 gallon, and the 15 gallons are good sized trees to put in a yard, but a little bit hard to put in the back seat of your Cadillac.
Yeah.
Doesn't work well.
Find a friend with a pickup truck.
Yeah, so bring a pickup truck. But we do have some larger trees that will give you a little more size right to start with, but it's a good size that a homeowner can work with. We have them priced fairly good from $7, you know, on up to about $65 for the 15 gallons. So we have a good assortment.
Well, there's a lot of terrific trees here in the region that do remarkably well that you guys – what are some of the trees that are going to be featured at the
– We'll have some of the oaks, you know, fusiformis, escarpment live oak, which is a great tree here. There are live oaks here. They aren't our native one, but they do well here. But oaks get a bad rap. A lot of people just talk about them, how slow they grow, and they're actually a fairly fast-growing tree. There's – some out here by between the Cotton Memorial and Geology that are chinkapin oak, which is a good one. We'll have that. There's some polymorpha oaks, the Mexican white oak that's been used here on campus with the new transformation project. So people, when they come to the sale, they can also get a chance to see Centennial Plaza and the wide assortment of desert and native plants that have been used in the campus landscape. So those are great. We have some plants that are well adapted to the area, like Chinese pistache and the true Chinese elm, lace bark elm, parvifolia, and those are great plants, do very well and don't have the problems that some of the other plants are notorious for as far as insect problems and things like that. So they do quite well. Of course, desert willow, one of my favorites, and great hummingbird plant too, does well.
Doesn't that one also is one of those you can just sort of leave alone pretty much?
Right.
Definitely.
And we've got some of the newer varieties that, you know, give you a little bit more color and don't have as much maybe seed pod formation on it. Do well.
Right. Definitely. Well, John, would you like to come back a little bit closer to the sale and talk to us about what you're going to have in your inventory? I think we'd be really excited to hear what you got ready to go for the sale. I know we just kind of scratched the surface on the number of plants.
A big scratch,
exactly, on there, but definitely.
No, I'd be glad to.
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah, we didn't get a chance to talk about the FloraFest speaker, but so we'll make sure to talk about it when you come back next month to tell us more about the native plant sale happening in April, which is the fourth weekend in April, the 23rd and 24th. Is that correct,
correct.
John?
Correct.
So we're looking forward to it. And hopefully, if people want to learn more about maybe some of the native plants here in the region, call the Master Gardeners at 771-2354, 771-2354. If nobody's there to answer your call, make sure to leave a message and they will be sure to return your call. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
We want to thank you, John White, Garden Curator for the Chihuahuan Desert Gardens, for coming back and being with us.
Thank you both.
And we also want to thank Evan Walsh for engineering and producing today's show. And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.